Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Purdy stops. Ball is out. Loose ball on the deck. Did the Jaguars do it again? Devin Lloyd is having a superstar type game. He knocked the ball loose, and Jacksonville has its fourth takeaway of the day. Foyashade Aluakin.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Adam Amin on the call, and the San Francisco 49ers, that was their last-ditch effort to try to steal one yesterday. And Purdy had the ball poked out. Eric Armstead with a recovery. And the 49ers lose their first game of the year and are now 3-1.
Yeah.
3-1.
What about this, partner? The one constant is all the games have come down to the wire. And fortunately for the Niners, you know, they've pulled them out. But yesterday, when you turn it the ball over at home, Stoney, and I hated they were in their white uniforms. I just hate that. That's another story.
Yeah, that was weird. I couldn't get that out of my head either.
But the bottom line is that's too funny. But the bottom line is, man, the guy that you've been – your captain, the guy you just paid, for whatever reason, we can't figure out why he was off from the outset. The first pass to Juice in the flat, you know, was low. Was that rust? I just know now I feel like – you know, Kyle talked this morning, Stoney. I know we'll play it. You know, Brock felt something in his toe. And I'll tell you this. I think that was arguably one of Brock's worst games. But if I want to send a message to my fans after I played that poor, I would say whatever was ailing me before the game flared back up, you know, because that can't be Brock moving forward. Or you're going to take another L this Thursday against your division foe, the Rams.
Well, then you got to make a decision on whether he's not healthy enough to play, or if he's not healthy, if Mac Jones gives you a better chance of winning.
But we got to find out what's up with his knee.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Big Monday, as we thought it would be. Bob Melvin's been fired. The Warriors have media day today. Still no resolution on Jonathan Kuminga, but they did sign Gary Payton II. And the Giants have just released a statement. Buster Posey has just released a statement, and here's what it read. After careful evaluation, we determined that making a change in leadership was in the best interest of the team. The last couple of months have been both disappointing and frustrating for all of us, and we did not perform up to our standards. We now turn our focus to identifying a new leader to guide us forward. That was Buster Posey following the firing of Bob Melvin after he gave him an extension halfway through the year.
And I almost... You know, a lot of people right now are wondering why he did that, but the bottom line is he admitted that, to me, with this move, that that was not going to prohibit him from making what he deems a right move. And Buster also mentioned, Stoney, in that it going away, in that letter to the fans, that the last couple of months were subpar. That wasn't up to snuff, and I know we disagree on how good the Giants are. I think they're better than what they played, and that ultimately, I believe, cost Bob Melvin his job.
Yeah, and I believe that this is par for the course. I believe that Buster Posey put together a team that was essentially 500. He thought it was going to be better. They weren't, and he's got the clout to fire the manager. And that's what he's doing. And it's a way to say that I think this team is better than we performed, and now we'll see. We'll see next year when they get a new manager in here. I just look at the last 4 years with this team, and they're in the same spot they've been. And if you want to fire Melvin, they fired Melvin. So let's see if it's a personnel issue for the Giants or if it's a managing issue for the Giants.
Right. But it'll be exciting to see who they dub, no pun intended, shout out Warriors, who they dub worthy of being the next skipper.
888-957-9570 is the number. Bay Area fans, what are you feeling today? Does the Melvin firing surprise you? Do you think it was something that they needed to do? What about that Niners game yesterday? They lose 26-21. Injuries keep piling up. I'm going to play Kyle Shanahan in a minute or two. He already talked to the media this morning. I'll play that for you. And then, of course, the Warriors starting training camp without any kind of resolution to the Jonathan Kuminga situation.
Wow.
So that continues to linger into training camp because Al Horford still has not been signed and can't be, I guess, until they figure out something with Jonathan Kuminga. So everything's on the table. Everything's on the table today. Whatever you guys want to talk about, we can do that at 888-957-9570 is the number. But back to the Niners. Evan, this is Kyle Shanahan. He was talking to the media this morning at 9:15, I believe, and we cut it up into 4 or 5 minutes, and it's mostly about the injuries, but I also think that he mentioned the running game a little bit. But this is just a little snippet from Kyle Shanahan from, I think it was a conference call earlier this morning.
What I got right now for you guys is similar to last night, just Ricky Purcell with his knee. We're still evaluating that for later today. Juwan Jennings with his ribs. I didn't say it last night, but Brock Purdy, you know, complaining on some soreness with his toe this morning. So we'll have to look into that more later today. And that's all we got right now. So go ahead, Gus.
Kyle, did Brock indicate to you whether the toe was bothering him throughout the game, or was it just a morning after situation?
No, he didn't indicate it to me at all during the game. I talked to him on the phone last night, and he said it was starting to bother him a little bit last night. But nothing during the game at all.
Kyle, now that you've watched the film, what can you assess from Brock Purdy's chemistry or lack thereof with the wide receivers?
There's a couple throws I think you'd like to have back. A few throws that are a little high. One little low to Juwan, the one in the red zone. And they also made a couple big throws too and catches. So, but there's number ones we'd like to have back.
Kyle, given the quick turnaround, do you have concerns about Brock's ability to play Thursday?
I think anytime guys are, you know, I mean, hopefully we'll find out more later today, but anytime guys are sore and hurting on a Monday, you usually don't stress too much about it, but anytime you have a Thursday game, it's a totally different element. So, I'm concerned with anybody who's not totally healthy at this moment, but we'll have to get more information on that later today to really kind of have a clue of what to speculate.
Ricky said after the game that he felt some instability in his knee. Do you have a concern level that there might be something long-term there?
I mean, we got to get it all today, but I'm not really, I mean, thinking more of like a minor PCL or something like that is what our guess is, you know, just landing on it hard. So hopefully it won't be too bad. You know, obviously a huge concern with the Thursday night game and stuff, but we're not expecting it to be too bad, but we got to find out later today.
Kyle, after the game, Brock didn't discount the fact that his toe may have kind of affected his mechanics and obviously contributed to some of his inaccuracy. I don't know. Did you see that when you watched the game over?
I mean, I don't see how an injury, I mean, you don't see that with your eyes. Yes, there was inaccurate. He had some inaccurate passes, which guys do in games, you know, is that attributed to the toe? I don't know. That's something that I'll ask him later, and I'm sure you guys will too.
Right. I just mean, I don't assume you can see an injury, but just his mechanics.
I mean, anytime you miss a throw, I mean, like we point out mechanics on every play. So mechanics aren't, I mean, mechanics go in and out. Sometimes that can be overcompensating for an injury. Sometimes it's just how you set your body and moving in the pocket and always trying to get your body in a position to have the right mechanics. So there's a lot of factors that go into it. So that possibly could be the toe or possibly could be like any other day in the NFL. So it's not a simple answer.
Was there anything on the film that jumped out about, I guess, the running game and why you guys are you're only getting about 3.3 yards per carry through 4 weeks?
Yeah, if you don't have any run over 20 yards on the year and you don't have any explosive run in that game, you know, I don't think we got anyone over 11 yards, I think. But yeah, that's going to, you're going to have that yards per carry when it's like that. We got to break a big one, and that entails everyone. That entails that includes the play calls. That includes guys blocking on the perimeter. It includes guys blocking inside, and it includes our runners creating.
So, Tim, you said you were a little not necessarily expecting any of the injuries mentioned to be like long lasting. Just wondering on the short week. How you kind of expect to kind of handle those three when it comes to Brock, Juwan, and Ricky, as far as like practicing, walkthroughs, things like that, to kind of, you know, because of the injury?
Yeah, I mean, no one, we won't do one full speed thing the whole week with everybody healthy or injured. So that really doesn't change anything with those guys. Hopefully they're healthy enough to go walk through. If they're not, then you give them till Thursday on such a short week, and hope they're ready to go then. And if not, we got to go with the guys behind them.
All right. That was Kyle Shanahan talking to the media this morning about an hour and 15 minutes ago. And the three big nuggets there, Brock Purdy apparently told Shanahan last night the toe was bothering him. Juwan Jennings and Pearsall have to be evaluated. Jennings with ribs. Pearsall with instability in his knee. They think it's a PCL. They'll have to figure that out later today. But, man, 49ers lose a game. And now the injuries, I think, even come into bigger focus because they were able to win three games when they were banged up. And now they lose a game. They get more banged up. And here come the Rams. On Thursday, or there they go to LA on Thursday.
Yeah, no doubt, Donnie. And I mean, things change quick, fast, and in a hurry. But of those injuries he mentioned, I'm sorry, the Ricky Pearsall, who looks like a receiver one for this team and can make the dynamic catches, big catches. But Donnie, when I hear a receiver or an athlete say he didn't feel stable in the knee, like some stability, that's a concern. So, you know, again, I'm no doctor, but when I hear minor PCL, I'm like, is there such thing? So we'll see how that moves and goes moving forward. But do you have a problem if I, Daryl Johnson, your partner, if a quarterback's out there and he's playing like Brock did and it's one of his worst games, I'm not going to say he's injured. They all made a group decision, and we talked about it all last week, especially Friday, about what goes into that decision. So do you have a problem if I just judge Brock on what I saw on film on my TV as he quarterbacked yesterday? He can't just make it all about the toe.
He threw two interceptions. He fumbled on the potential game-winning drive. And in the 3 or 4 days leading up to the game, everybody talked about who should play quarterback for the Niners. Nobody knew who's 100%, who's 90, who's 80, who's 70. None of us know that stuff, and it's up to the Niners to decide who to play or who they think is most equipped to play. They picked Purdy, and Purdy was bad, and they got beat. And so, yes, does it open itself up to 49er fans saying Purdy should not have played yesterday? And if he wouldn't have played yesterday, would the goal have been to get him back out there Thursday? Yeah. I imagine, but maybe Mac Jones wasn't anywhere near healthy. So I get the sense that they put all the information together. They figured Purdy gave them their best chance, and they got beat.
Yeah, and I asked you in the green room, and I asked you again just for others, Stoddy, if the Niners knew that was going to be how Brock played, you know, with the high throws and some medicine balls and the turnovers, would they have played them? And obviously it would have been no. But now I'm up here scratching my head as to – this is what we do know on Monday, the day after the game, right? 3 days before your next game. He's feeling something in the toe, and some doctors have said, Stoney and athletes, Low Neal, former athletes, and Baldy, that this toe situation or turf toe can follow you the whole year. So now I'm wondering, do you even want to risk it, having him go out there Thursday if he's not 100%, especially if you get these returns in regard to his performance? It's kind of, you're between a rock and a hard place, and I can't tell you what Mac Jones is feeling.
I don't know if Mac Jones is healthy. Do we even know if Mac Jones could have played yesterday? He was active, but maybe he probably wasn't going to play. And so they felt like they had to go to Purdy. Should they have used Martinez? I don't know. Like, that's they.
Now it doesn't sound as crazy.
They used Brock Purdy, and he wasn't good and his toe's still sore. So they got to figure out what he's going to, what if anything, they're going to do with him on Thursday when they play the LA Rams.
What do you make of this stat? And I was just looking at the opening drive. The Niners go 13 plays, 57 yards. Stoney hold the ball almost 7 minutes, about 6:27 off the clock, but they can't get in the end zone. And, you know, I just want to read this to you from McCaffrey. Through four games, Stoney, 225 yards on the ground, but 305 in the air. So he's been rendered almost ineffective on running the ball. And Stoney, I can't tell you, he looks slow to me. He don't look – I just feel like collectively they can't block up front through 12 quarters of – 16 quarters of football. And that's got to improve.
I think it's probably a combination of both. I'm sure he's not exactly the runner he was 2 years ago. They're obviously using him out of the backfield more, whether that's out of necessity because they're short in the wide receiver category or whether they want to protect him a little bit or make him more – versatile to their offensive scheme. I'm not sure, but no, he hasn't run the ball as effectively as he has when he's healthy. So now we got to figure out why and either get better. Either he's going to get stronger as the season goes on or the line's got to get better. Didn't sound to me like Trent Williams had a great game yesterday.
And he said, I don't know if you heard him, Stoney, after the game, He was talking about this in particular game, obviously, but he said he felt like the running game was not why they lost.
Well, it's easy to say that because they had four turnovers, and if the Niners don't turn the ball over, they probably win that game yesterday. But, I mean, they had four turnovers. It's one of those games where if you don't want to think too much about it, you could just say, if we don't turn the ball over, we probably win that game. But they turned it over, and they turned it over a lot.
Yeah, they did. It could have been one more. Brock fumbled, but he got it back.
Yeah, McCaffrey fumbled and got it back, too, one time. 888-957-9570 is the number. Niners get beat by the Jacksonville Jaguars 26-21 yesterday. I mean, it wasn't a good effort by Purdy. I don't think it was a good effort by the 49ers. They just didn't look like they were in sync. Maybe it's because of all the injuries. I don't know. Purdy looked shaky, and so after going 3-0, they finally lost a one score game where they didn't make the plays at the end. They're 3-1, and you could say, well, they made big plays in three games, and then they couldn't get one in the fourth quarter of their fourth game.
Yeah, and the reality is, people like Harry Stoney, if the ball doesn't bounce their way or they don't make the plays that we've seen Bosa make, who is no longer available, and I felt like we could see his impact right away. Again, I reiterate, Stoney, Trevor Lawrence did not get touched, not a sack, and not a hit on him. So he was comfortable and still almost blew it. But the bottom line is, you know, things went your way the first three games. Yesterday didn't, and now – you know, a lot of Niner fans, I was hearing it. They were playing the schedule game. Now you got it, you know, the Rams Thursday, and then you got Tampa Bay on the road. I know it's one game at a time, but, boy, you got to get healthy fast. And what I'm hearing Kyle talk about in regard to Ricky Pearsall, I don't know what Juwan Jennings' availability is. Do you think that was a bad pass? How could it be a bad pass on the two-point conversion that he got hurt? He took a hit, Malachi Crunch. Jennings did, but it was completed for a two-point conversion. But I can't call that a bad pass, right?
I mean, he put a lot of receivers in harm's way, I thought, yesterday. A lot of receivers got popped yesterday. I mean, was that a bad throw? I don't know if it could be a bad throw if you get a two-point conversion on him. I know he got hurt on the play. And
it's football.
And that may cost Jennings a game or two. And then, obviously, it kind of takes another toll. But
do you feel like they're getting any healthier, or the record still the bad record is still scratching or skipping? That's how I'm feeling. And yesterday it caught up with them.
Well, I mean, Purdy came through the game. Purdy's healthy as far as I'm concerned. I mean, he's healthy. Otherwise, you can't put him out there. And maybe Jacksonville had something to do with that performance from Brock
Purdy.
Their
D was good.
888-957-9570 is the number. Big sports morning in the Bay. Bob Melvin's been fired as the manager of the San Francisco Giants. That happened about an hour ago. We can talk about that. Where's Buster Posey going to turn now? Is it going to be to Bruce Bochy? We got to figure out what's going on with Bochy in Texas, or is that just kind of a pipe dream at this point? We've got the Niners. They lose their first game of the year. They're now 3-1, and they have a quick turnaround against the L.A. Rams. And, of course, the Warriors, they start training camp with Media Day today. Still nothing going on with Jonathan Kuminga, but they have signed Gary Payton II, and there's 2 days until the deadline as it relates to Jonathan Kuminga. But a lot of Warrior players are talking today, and I'm sure Kuminga will be a hot topic over there at Media Day.
Yeah. Over the weekend, Stoddy, I just let my mind go to hoop because it is back, and I was just thinking of their starting five with the Horford announcement, and I'm like, I like it. But I know they're not, young Thundercats. So the others on this team, are they going to be able to pick up the slack? And I'm hoping Kuminga's a part of the others because I think he's your most talented. But again, like you said, man, two more days. He's not there today. Wasn't it their version of training camp, what they had going on in San Diego? So I know Warrior fans, just like myself, just want some clarity, man.
The you always accuse me of cooking the books. When I figure out a stat dating back to a certain time, and is this anything to?
Oh,
am I cooking the books
okay.
here?
Give it. I don't know where you're going.
Since a Christmas game in 2023, Brock Purdy's got 29 touchdown passes and 21 interceptions. He ended the.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He ended the 2023 year with 5 touchdowns, 5 picks. Then he was 20-12 last year, 20 touchdowns, 12 picks. And now he's got 4 touchdowns and 4 picks in 2 games this year. So is one of the aspects of how you measure a quarterback, touchdowns to interceptions, it's not been good for about a year and a half now with Brock Purdy. Is that unfair? Am I cooking the books, as Goo would say?
I mean, those are stats, and I'll just say this. You could make a correlation with last year and since Christmas when they faced the Ravens and that got out of hand. But, Stani, the more I see Brock play, how about this, especially yesterday, and you could say it's recency bias, I'm losing more confidence by the outing if we continue to see more of these and you question, okay, he got the bag, and I felt like he earned the bag for where he's taking this team. But, man, if we're starting to see some regression or teams be able to manipulate and D him up and take the middle of the field away, then there's a major cause for concern because I did notice the ball wasn't going outside the numbers like it was with Mac Jones. And the reason I bring that up, partner, is just I feel like there's a different play selection that Kyle's utilizing that – he couldn't use yesterday. I could be wrong. The middle of the field may be the ocean, the good ocean for Brock Purdy. But those numbers are alarming. But the bottom line is, he turned it over the game that he played against Seattle. He comes back. I'm taking him at his word. And there's 3 turnovers. So, and a couple more when the ball's in the air. Jimmy Steiny, I'm getting Jimmy vibes. Like I'm getting those, oh no, but I won't hammer him yet because we're only 4 games in, his second game. But what are you going to do with that moving forward if you just pan that out for the season? Because you put a ring on his finger. He is your quarterback. He is hampered. So I'm going to put that in the computer. Well, you said he was hurt. No, you just said he was healthy. Well, what do you do? You help me. Help me, help me.
Well, if you're telling me that Kyle Shanahan didn't use a game plan that he normally would because Purdy was too hurt, yeah, I didn't say that.
I was just saying the throws are different than Mac, who has a stronger arm.
Well, why was that a problem yesterday with Purdy? I mean, I didn't even see
too many of those throws. Everything was in the middle of the field. And I think that plays to the advantage of the defense. That's just how I saw it yesterday.
This is from the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line. Mac is a better vertical passer. Shanahan had more faith in Mac's passing. Look at the number of passes he allowed the backup quarterback to throw. I mean, they're both probably in the same area, I would think. Purdy threw 38 times yesterday. So the bottom line is the 49ers have had four games, and they've essentially thrown close to 40 passes a game with either guy.
How many games in that sample size would you say, Steiny? What you gave me?
Got to get going. By the way, Buster Posey right now is speaking to the media, and we're going to have sound on that on the other side. Big morning here in the Bay. Bob Melvin fired. 49ers lose. Warriors training camp underway. And we're talking about it all on 95.7 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNC's apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.